compliment. Say, ah, neighbor, your clothes look beautiful. You are shining this morning. Which cream did you use? Hallelujah. Which soap? Tell me now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, y'all, welcome to God's presence this morning. The Lord God that has brought you will bless you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Characteristics of the gardener. Characteristics of the gardener. I continue from where I stopped last week, Sunday. I gave you three characteristics of a gardener. But I saw this scripture in the course of the week. John chapter 20 verse 15. Let me quickly share that with you as before I continue. John chapter 20 verse 15. John 20 15. John 20 verse 15. Jesus said unto her, woman. That was when Jesus arose. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Hallelujah. Well, this was the account of Mary Magdalene. Do you remember? When Jesus arose from the dead, everybody was looking for him. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And this woman went somewhere. She went into the garden. And when she went into the garden, you know, there are men that understand God. She knew where to look for him. She knows where to look for him. Hallelujah. Maybe one day I will turn that to a sermon for you. But you know what? She stepped into the garden. And the person she met was what? Was who? Was a gardener. Now, why did Jesus costume himself as a gardener? Do you know why? Because when he arose for our justification. He arose so that our lives can become better. He arose so that whatever represents weed in our lives can be removed. That is the primary work of a gardener. He arose as a gardener. He didn't arise. You know, assuming he costumed himself as a medical doctor. I've said he costumed himself as a medical doctor. Oh, she assumed he was a tax collector. She assumed he was a banker. She assumed he was a farmer. No, he didn't use the word farmer. He used the word gardener. You know why? Farmers look very rough, isn't it? Hallelujah. But gardeners look very okay, you know. Because in gardens, that's where you see beautiful things. That's where you see flower. You know, sometimes when you enter some gardens. I enter some garden in London. I was wondering, what's wrong with these people? You know, they will plant trees and they will be taking care of it as if their life depends on it. Only because of flower. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. But that is the idea of gardening. He foresees the beauty in things. And while everybody was looking inside the tomb, the one that understand God as a gardener entered into the garden. Hallelujah. And what happened there? She met with the Lord. And you remember John chapter 15 that we read last week? He said, I am divine and my Father is what? He is the gardener. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, so what are the characteristics of a gardener? We looked at three last week. Number four, character. Number four, character of the gardener. Mark chapter 12, verse 1. I call it drive. Drive. Just write it down as drive. Hallelujah. What does it mean to drive? What does it mean to drive? To move, isn't it? To cause motion to take place, right? It causes motion to take place. Now, let me quickly read Mark chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, and he began to speak them unto them in parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an edge about it and digged a place for the wine fat. A certain man planted a vineyard. Now, that is what I call what? Drive. Why do we say a gardener has drive? A gardener doesn't need to be set in motion. A gardener moves by himself. A gardener has the ability to overcome what is called the force of inertia. He has the ability to overcome what? The force of inertia. Now, the principle is of inertia. Physics students, you remember, inertia does two things. Inertia either keeps you on the same spot or helps you to keep moving. If you're already moving and the force of inertia catches up with you, it helps you to move smoother. But if you're on the same spot, it will help you to stay there. Hallelujah. But you know, for a gardener, he overcomes the inertia to move and go into operation. They don't beg him to go and guard him. The Bible says he planted. What are you planting? What does that tell us? Drive talks about intentionality. It talks about, I am intentional. This is what I want to see. Hallelujah. This is what I want to see. Praise the Lord. You know, our garden at the back here, you know, sometimes you just discover that weed, things just don't start growing there. You know, many times we just have to weed it, we'll spray it, and we do all that. You know, one day I was just thinking, why is it that tomatoes will not just start growing? Huh? Have you ever noticed that you are not just walking on the street, and then maybe in your house, the bush in your house just became tomatoes. It just became watermelon. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It just became pawpaw. It just became what? Mango. Isn't it? Is that the way it works? No. You know why? Because gardening involves drive. It involves intentionality. You plan to garden. You make it a deliberate effort to garden. Everything that you live by itself begins to spoil. Why? Because we live in a world where everything has been customized to decay and to decongest. So what do? You overcome that by becoming intentional. So today, develop a drive that will make you get that which you want. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So develop that drive. Move out. You know, you won't just sleep in your house, wake up. Sleep in your house, wake up. Sleep in your house, wake up. Isn't it? Our students, they've been sleeping and waking up now, right? For a many months. And then, maybe by the time they call off strike now, they call off the lockdown, then they will just come to your house, they will just greet you, and they said you have become a doctor. Is that the way it works? Why? They will just give you, you know, I saw a student post something on her status. She said, now that we have been at home for several months, now when they just call off the lockdown, they must just give us our certificate. You can imagine. If it is you, you know, the question that came to my mind was, look at this girl. Okay, assuming you just sleep like that, and wake up, and then they just give you your certificate and you became a medical doctor. Even you, you will not attend to yourself. Do you understand? You will not attend to yourself. Because you just slept and wake up, and they gave you a certificate. No! There are things that you must do. You garden your life. You pattern your life to produce the kind of results that you want. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So a man that has drive overcomes failure. A man that has drive overcomes what? Failure. Why? You know, many a times, if you have gardened before, if you want to plant tomatoes, or even if you want to plant corn, like corn or guinea corn, I used to follow my father to the farm those days. Hallelujah. So when I noticed that when they plant guinea corn, how do they plant it? Do they plant 2 seed or 3 seed? How do they plant it? Doctor, how? You understand? They pour it. They just pour it. You understand? Why? Because they know that some of them will die. They know it. So they were prepared ahead for failure. And as a matter of fact, you must understand that failure is nothing but feedback. Do you understand that? Failure is what? Nothing but what? Feedback. It has just given you an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Number five. A gardener has hope and expectation. A gardener has what? Hope and expectation. Hope and expectation. A gardener does believe. Hallelujah. You know, gardening is very risky. Farming is risky. It's one of the most dangerous jobs that any man can ever do. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. You know, yesterday my wife and one of our colleagues that came to visit us, you know, we were just talking. I was listening. Do you understand? You know, now, most of the time, civil servants are at home in Nigeria, right? But they pay them salary. Government has to do that. Because government is committed. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whether they do anything or they don't do anything, they must pay them. You understand? But as a farmer, if you don't do anything, will anybody pay you? No. It doesn't work that way. As a businessman, will anybody pay you? No, they won't. They won't. You understand? But this one, you know that whether, no matter what happens, government will have to go and look for the money and pay the salary. Isn't it? But what of the gardener? You know, it's a risky job. You decide to go into the bush. You went and just cultivated the land. You decide to put seed into the land. What gives you the assurance that maybe you plant corn? What if after 90 days, the corn didn't produce? What will you do? What will you do? But you know what? The gardener has hope that this thing will produce. The gardener has hope that this thing is going to produce. It will germinate. It will do well. You know, I went somewhere because of the week with King D, and King D was asking me a question. You know, we just saw somebody spraying a particular plot of land. He was spraying with a sprayer. He was spraying and spraying. You know, King D was asking, what's this man? What is he doing? Look at the land. It's as if there is something on this land. And he was still spraying. Well, the only thing we could see that was spraying was grass. You understand? And I said he's just spraying it. He's applying herbicide because of the plant. He wants to destroy the plant. But that man has planted something. So the question that came to my mind was, this man is spraying. How is he sure that the herbicide that he's spraying will not also destroy the things that he has planted? How is he sure? How does he know? It is called what? Hope and what? Expectation. A gardener is expectant. A gardener is what? Expectant. He just knows that, look, things will change. Things will happen. Luke chapter 13. We read it last week. Luke chapter 13 from verse 6. Luke chapter 13 from verse 6. The Bible says he spake a parable also. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of the vine. Now he's talking to the dresser of the vine. That is the gardener. He said, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is he occupying ground? Cut it down. But look at the response of the gardener. Verse 8. Luke 13:8. He said, and he answering said unto him, Lord, Lord, calm down. You remember, calm down. That boy has become a star now. He said, Lord, calm down. He said, leave it, let it alone also, till I shall dig about it and dunk it. He said, give me time. Give this thing another year. You know, the question is, how is he sure? This thing, for 3 years, he has refused to produce fruits. But the gardener said, don't worry, sir. Give me another year. I will dig about it. I will apply manure. I will water it again. Please, wait. Don't cut it down. Can you imagine that? The fourth year. And nobody's paying him salary because the salary is going to come from the fruit. But he kept at the work. He believed that something will just happen. It is called hope and expectation. What are your expectations? You know, the problem of many Christians is that we have expectations at January 1 of every year. Right? When we have our expectations are always high on the 1st of January, we write them, we document them. You know, usually after 2 weeks, I ask people, what are your expectations? They said, yes, I wrote it down. They can't remember. They said, I wrote it down. So where is it? Where did you write it? They said, I can't remember. Eventually, I said, look for it and bring it. They can't find it. The expectation begins to dwindle. The expectation begins to dwindle. That is the life of a scavenger, not the life of a gardener. The gardener knows what he's expecting. The gardener sets his gaze on his expectation and refuses to break focus till he achieves his aim. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed. Number what? Number 6, right? Number 6. He has the ability to take little and make it big. The gardener have the ability to take little and what? Amplify it. Bible says, do not despise the days of small beginnings. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen a very big tree before? How many people have seen a mango tree before? Okay, if you have not seen one before, this is one. This is a mango tree, right? But the question is this. How many people have seen a mango seed before? We have all seen mango seed because we have taken mango before, right? Now, what can you quantify the size of the mango seed and the size of the mango tree? Can you? You can't compare them. You can't. But it takes somebody with a gardening mentality to recognize that this seed that is in my hand, can become a giant tree. Now let me quickly show you something. Luke chapter 13 verse 19. It says, it is like a grain of mustard seed. Many people have seen grain of mustard seed before. You have seen it before. Okay, maybe after service, if you want to see it, my wife can show you some. We have mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed is so small that by the time you bring it close to look at it, the breath of your nostrils will blow it away. And if it blows it away and it drops on the ground, it looks like grain of sand. You can't see it. You can't find it again. Are you following me? That's how small a mustard seed is. Now, listen carefully. The Bible says it is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. Are you following? And it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Wow. Hallelujah. Do you know why many people are poor? Do you know why many people are frustrated in life? Do you know? They have despised their seed. They have lived, you know the interesting thing is this. If you pick a comb of corn, you have two options. When you remove it from the tree, you have two options, isn't it? Now, what's number one option? To cook it, right? What's number two option? To preserve it and plant it, isn't it? Now, it takes somebody with a gardening mentality to be able to recognize that this corn that I am holding is not just fruit. Inside it, there is seed to produce more. The Bible says this man picked a grain of mustard seed. He planted it. He watered it. And the tree began to grow. The Bible says after some time, it grew and became a giant tree. Not a small tree. You know, this tree is like what we call in Yoruba land, iroko tree. What's the English name for iroko tree? Iroko. Okay, they say iroko. Okay. I don't know. Maybe some of our viewers watching from abroad, they will tell us the video of iroko. But okay, in Nigeria, we call it iroko. But it's big, mighty. The Bible says, after some time, when it grows and it matures, the Bible says, the fowl of the air lodged on the branch thereof. Hallelujah. I said something in lift. I said, look, you are not truly blessed until you become a blessing. That is the agenda of God. That little thing in your hand, have the potential to grow into a big tree to house and accommodate others. It has the ability to grow. If you can nurture it and you allow it as a gardener to become all it can become, it can feed you, it can serve you. Hallelujah. There is nothing you will demand from it that it will not give you when you give it time. But it takes a gardener's eye to see that inside the seed that I am holding is greatness. My Moro said, when I give you a seed of mango, what does it mean? And you know, I watched the conference online. And people started talking. That's mango fruit. They said, no, I mean the seed. They said, okay. So people said they will plant it. It becomes a tree. They said, yes. Are you sure? They said, yes. My Sporo said something in that conference. My Sporo said, a seed of mango is not a tree of mango. A seed of mango is a forest of mangoes. Do you understand? A seed of mango in your hand, it's not a tree of mango. No. It is what? It's a forest of mangoes. Because when you plant that one mango and it becomes a tree, it brings out fruit. When you harness the potential of the seed of the mango that has been produced, what happened? And you replant them. Just give it time. You know, I saw something online. I'm sure some of us saw it. There was this desert and a couple, husband and wife, they just went and bought the place. No, everybody ran away from the place. It's a desert. And you know what? I think it's about 15 or 20 years or thereabout. They started planting trees every day. One. They started planting trees. Do you know what? They turned the desert into a forest under 20 years. Just two of them. Not everybody. Just two. Husband and wife. They just took it up as an assignment. now they have gotten so many Nobel Laureate awards. They turn a desert, practical visible forest, desert, they turned it into a forest. Why? Because they understand that a gardener sees things with the eyes of gardening. They work in your hand. How do you see it? That thing that you are doing, what is your idea? You understand? You know, the problem is this. Let me bring it home. Many people, what they are doing now, they look at it from the eyes of the hunter. Let me just eat from it. At the end of the month, let me just have something to eat. That's the eyes of who? Of a hunter. But a gardener knows that this thing in my hand has the potential to become anything I want to turn it to. That's all. So whereas the hunter can only see mango fruit and a mango tree in the seed that is given to him, the gardener sees what? The gardener sees a jungle. And you know what? The forest that those people created, all manner of snakes now. A desert, all manner of animals. They have come there now. They just migrated there of their own accord. Why? Because some people saw with the eyes of a gardener. Number next. The gardener has what I call enterprise. A gardener has what I call what? Enterprise. He is an employer of labor. That's a gardener. He is what? An employer of labor. Matthew chapter 20 verse 1. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder that went out each morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. There is no man, go and check it, there is no man that is truly rich that is running his business alone. None. It's not possible. Sheung, are you listening to me? Eh? Are you hearing me? It's high time you start developing a system. It's high time you develop a system to expand and enlarge whatever you are doing. That is the mindset of a gardener. The Bible says he goes out. You know, I looked at this story. You know, I've told you, may I read my Bible for practical application? I don't read it like every conventional man. The Bible says he goes out every morning and employ people. In 365 days, how many employees does he have? 365. He even goes back in the evening and employs more people. He has enterprise. He knows he needs people to enlarge and to expand. He knows that he has to develop systems that will keep bringing revenue to him. Hallelujah. I was telling a lady yesterday, I said, look, ma, she was starting a business, so she brought some of the things to the house so that we can pray on it. And I told her, I said, look, your body, the way it is fine like this, is the container of all the ideas. If you lose your body, you become an illegal entity. Even if I see your ghost, I will cast it out. That's the truth. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So what does that mean? I said, don't kill yourself. Develop a system that can simplify the work. Get people. Employ people. Leverage on machines that can help you. That is true expansion. The gardener has enterprise. He keeps going out and employing people. And finally today, I'm sure this is what you are waiting for. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, the gardener that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruit. The gardener enjoys the labor of his hand. That should be number 7 or 8. 8. He enjoys what? The labor. He enjoys the labor of his hands. He enjoys the labor of his hand. The Bible says he must. Look at the way the Bible puts it. It said the husbandman or the gardener that laboreth must be the must. Must. It didn't say should. It didn't say will. It didn't say may. It said must be the first partaker. What does that mean? When you labor as a gardener, God stands by you from the day you plant till the day you harvest. God becomes committed. You know why? God created man and put man inside a garden. The primary function of God, the first thing God did for man was to plant a garden. And the second thing he did was to put man inside that garden to continue from where he, God, stopped. So the day you start living your life like a gardener, God gets committed to your purpose. And God makes sure he stands by you till the result show. And that's why one of the primary functions of angels are what? The Bible says angels are harvesters. Angels are what? They are harvesters. That's what the Bible says about angels. So you must understand that the day you start living a garden life, God gets committed to your assignment. God gets committed to your vision. And God stands by you till it comes to what? Manifestation. Do you understand me now? Do you understand me now? There is one more point, but that is the topic of my next Sunday's sermon. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise on our feet? I want you to begin to pray. I don't know what God has given to you.